I want to just personally want to thank some people this morning. First of all, if you enjoy Jermaine Mundane, you did a great job, man. Awesome. Well, today we're going to continue our series on grace, and we're going to end the series today. And I thought this is no better time than the Christmas season for us to be going through our series on grace. We've been learning what grace really means in our life. We spent the month of November and in December talking about how big God's grace really is in our life. And when we understand how big God's grace in our life, it doesn't make us want to go out and just sin all we want to, but instead it's the opposite effect. The more I learn about the revelation about how much God really loves me, how much He has forgiven me, how much He's restored me, it causes me to want to do the right things. It causes me to fall in love with Him over again. And so I pray that during this Christmas season, that the word of grace would come alive in your heart. That the Savior, as you realize, came into this world to bring us the gift of grace. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about that today. The gift of grace. It's a gift. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. Especially this section over here. We don't deserve it. None of us do. We don't deserve grace. How many would be thankful today if you were drowning and somebody jumped in and saved your life from drowning? How many would be happy about that? Yeah. How many would say, man, I owe that person my life, correct? We know this to be a very true fact. If we were drowning today and someone jumps in and saves our life, then we're going to say, man, I owe that person my life. And what if that lifeguard who saved you said this, said, you know what? You don't have to ever worry about drowning again because I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to walk with you. How many think that would be a great thing? See, that's what the Savior did to us. He says, I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. That while we were drowning in our sin, Christ died for us and came for us. And this is the miracle of Christmas, that the Savior came. And this is the problem, though. The problem we have is this, is that He saves us. We owe Him our life, but somewhere along the line, we learn to swim on our own. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth. We come to Destiny Church for a couple of years, Pastor. I've gotten saved. The Savior saved me. But you're teaching us how to swim. You're teaching us how to stay afloat. You're teaching us how to gain new ground. And that's true. But the problem is this. I don't care how good you swim, you're always going to need a Savior. Let me say it again. I don't care how good you swim, you're always going to need a Savior. Because remember us teaching that Scripture says that if you committed one sin or you've committed 1,000 sins, it doesn't make a difference. He says, even if you committed one sin, you're just as guilty as the person who's committed a multitude, a sea of sins. And so this is the problem, is that sin is like the ocean. Our sins are so big, they're like the ocean. And I don't care how big you think you are. I don't care how mature you think you are. I don't care how great of a swimmer you think you are. If I take you and drop you off in the middle of the ocean, you're going to need someone to come and save you. Correct? Correct. And that's the way it is in our life. We've got to never forget that we will always need a Savior. We will always need a Savior in our lives. And so today, I want to talk to you about this gift of grace. We all need a Savior. And if you don't think we need a Savior, just ask your spouse. They will tell you. You need a Savior. If you're not married, ask your mom and dad. They for sure will tell you. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. And I'm going to talk about the three gifts that grace brings us in our life. Now, there's a lot more. I could talk about this for weeks, and I have been talking about it for weeks. But I'm going to narrow down just the three today. Stay with me just on a short time here, and then we're going to take communion together here in a little bit as we celebrate this Christmas. But I want to talk to you about three gifts that grace brings to our life. Number one, grace brings us the gift of justification. The gift of justification. Look at Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So being what? Say it together. We being justified freely. That means it didn't cost us anything, right? Let me say this to you. Grace is free, but it's not cheap. Grace is free, but it's not cheap. It costs the Savior His life. It costs the Father His Son to bring us the grace. But it is free, because it's by His grace through the redemption that Christ, that is in Jesus Christ. Now listen, we have been made justified. What's that mean? That means when we stand in the court of law, that we look and we say, all right, this person has gotten justice. They have gotten what they deserve. We have gotten what we deserve. Because we sinned, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we've all been sentenced to hell. But the great news is this, that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that no longer are you sentenced to hell, but now you've been sentenced to heaven. I don't know, that should break your heart this morning, right? You should clap right there. Thank God right there that I have been justified. I have been sentenced to heaven. That means this, that even though I may have some sorrow here on earth, and I may have some times of walking difficult, and I may have some times of mourning the death of people close to me, even though I may be walking in a walker today or a wheelchair today, even though I may have pain in my body today, even though we believe in the power of healing, and we have witnesses here in many people in this church. And growing up, I've seen many people receive miraculous signs of healing in their life. We know this one thing. Either way, if you're a Christian, you're going to be healed, because we're going to walk again in a new body. We're going to walk and see the loved ones that have gone on before who accepted Him as well. And we're going to celebrate eternity in heaven. This is the gift of justification, that we have served our term. And now we're free. We've been paroled and pardoned to go forth and to receive heaven as our home. Look what Isaiah 40:12 says. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says who? Our God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. The war is over. The warfare is ended. That her iniquity, that's a word for sin, her sin has been what? Pardoned. Her sin, her iniquity has been pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Now, maybe you're here like me today. You've read this verse before, and you say, all right, this means that, you know, God is saying, all right, enough's enough. He's given us double punishment for our sins. That's the way I used to think it read. I used to think He's saying, all right, God's, we've received the double. You know, He who knows to do right and does wrong, He's going to receive double portion of evil in His life. He's going to reap this bad thing. And really, we're misreading it, because look at this verse. Why would God say the warfare has ended? Why would He say our sin has been pardoned, only to turn around and punish us double? That's not what He means in the Scripture. Matter of fact, as we go back and we look at the original meaning of this text, it comes from an act that actually was common in that day. In that day, if you owed debt to somebody and you came to them and you said, man, can I borrow some money? And they gave you a loan and you owed them something, and then you could not repay that loan, legally, the person who gave you the money could enslave you and your immediate family to work for them until you paid back that debt. And so what would happen was this. If you couldn't come to pay that debt, they would declare, I can't pay that debt. We're now becoming a slave to your family to pay it off. They begin to work for that family of slaves. And out on the doorpost, they would post the debt of that family, and they would put the family's name for everybody to walk by and see. Oh, that's why they're working for them, because they owe them this money. They haven't paid back their debt. But there was something that could happen, that if you walked by and you had the money to pay their debt for them, you could take that letter and you could fold it over once, and then you would fold it over twice. It was a double fold. You would fold it and seal it, and then you would take your name and write across that paper, signifying that you are taking responsibility for that debt. You are pardoning that family of their debt, and you're going to pay off that debt for them. Now, this is gets you really excited today when you see this is what grace is in our life. He says, tell the people that their iniquity, their sin has been pardoned. For the Lord has what? He has doubled over, and he has wrote the name of his son Jesus in blood on our letter of debt and saying it has been pardoned. It has been forgiven. This is the gift of grace in our life, that I've been pardoned. I've done a lot of things in my life I'm not proud of, and so have you. Especially this section right here. But this is the great news, that he looks at my life and he says, I've doubled it over. I pardon their iniquity. This is the gift of grace we receive today. We've all received this grace if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The second gift we see is the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. 1 John 2:25 says it like this. And this is the promise that he has promised us. What? Eternal life. In case you don't get it, let's look at the next two verses that we have here. 1 John 5:13 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is what? The gift, let's say it together, say the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, here's the bad news today. You're going to live forever if you're a Christian. That should get you excited today, because no matter what you, how you feel today, no matter what kind of sickness you're going through, we're going to spend eternity with our Savior forever. He didn't just come to be splitting time so we write the date that we know that something happened over 2,000 years ago. No, he didn't come just to be born in a manger. He came not only to die and take the sin of the world upon the cross, but he came to what? To bring God to us that we could spend eternity with him forever. We have been given the gift of eternal life. This is a great gift this Christmas, the gift of grace. Let me ask you this question. What if somebody came to you today? This holiday season, they came in and they said, knocked on your door, family's there, and they said, you know what? Hey, your TV, the game is on, we're tired of watching the game on analog TV, okay? They got these new things, you know, as you want, they're called big screen TVs. You know, not that I'd ever do that to my father, but like, Dad, come on. There's come a time, Dad, when you need to kind of upgrade so we can come and watch the game, you know, on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And finally, I got my dad to upgrade to a bigger screen TV, and we love watching the games. But what if you walked in? This person walked in your house and said, listen, we decided to buy you for Christmas an 80-inch high-def 3D TV, Wi-Fi ready. How many of you are like, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, I will receive that gift in the name of Jesus. Pastor, are you prophesying today? I receive that right now. I name it and claim it. Hallelujah. Yeah, we got your Bible's breaking out everywhere. Eternal life doesn't excite you, but 80-inch TVs do. Okay, we got to have another series talking about priorities. Okay. But what if we hooked that up for you and like, Merry Christmas, we're so excited to give this gift to you. And you spend the night and you're there and you watch the game. And everybody's excited and you're just like going to bed at night crying. Oh, thank you, Lord. I always wanted that TV. I mean, you don't know how bad I wanted that in my man cave. You just don't know. And then when that person who gave you that gift begins to leave, they say, hey, by the way, here's the receipt for that TV. Now, you just take your time. You can pay that back anytime you want. You can pay me anytime you want. I know, I just take your time, is all right. You can make monthly payments if you want to. Whenever you maybe get your tax return, you want to pay it off then, that's fine. But here it is. This is how much you owe. Merry Christmas. What would you do? What? That's not a gift, right? That's not a gift. Why? Because they're asking me to pay for it, right? Are you following me here today? But how many of us do this to the gift of grace in our life? We receive the gift. We get excited about the gift of grace, forgiveness of our sins, and then we try to pay it off as we go. God, I gotta earn your love. God, I gotta earn this grace. God, I gotta do good. I gotta be better. I gotta do all these things. We're trying to pay it off. And a gift is not a gift if you've got to earn it, if you've got to pay for it. A gift is only given freely from someone who wants to bless you. Right? So this is why he says it is the gift of God, is eternal life. It's the gift. It's the gift. Look what Romans 11:6 tells us, the same thing. It says, if by grace, talking about our salvation, if by grace, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it's works, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. What he's saying is this, if you get a gift by grace and you try to earn it, it's become wages. And if you receive works, then it's not a free gift. He's saying our salvation, the grace that comes to us, is free and it's a gift from God. We must realize that God is bringing us the gift of grace in our life, the gift of justification, the gift of eternal life. And number three is the gift of redemption. It's a great gift. He has redeemed us. The word redemption simply means to buy back, that he has purchased us back. Scripture backs this point up in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Now let's stop right there. Let's pause. Remember what I talked about a few weeks ago when we talked about grace and how God refuses to live where sin is at. God will not live where sin abides. We established that according to the law, that God will not live where sin abides. And so now if he has saved us, as he has redeemed us, if he has justified us, and he says now that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which God abides, there's only one conclusion then, is this. I'm not dirty. I'm clean. I've been made clean. It's the gift. He says, from now on, the Holy Spirit is in you, whom you have in God. Look what it says. You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. We were bought at a price. We were bought at a price. Grace is free, but it's not cheap. It costs something. It costs our Savior his life. He bought us at a price, and we are not our own. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I feel so empty, even though I get degrees and I get promotions and I got this person in my life and I've done this and done that, I still inside feel empty. I will say to you, until you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will always have a void in your life. Nothing else will bring and sustain fulfillment in your life except a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian today, you say, Pastor, I don't have an empty feeling, but I'm just frustrated. I can't explain it. I just feel frustrated in my life. I can't tell you exactly why. I know I accepted Jesus, but I feel really frustrated. I would say to you, the reason why is you've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. Until you learn that I have been bought with a price and my life belongs to the Savior, and I learned what it means to totally surrender my life to Christ, I'm going to be frustrated. But you want to have true peace that comes? He says, I bring you what peace? How do you experience that true peace? Only by surrender, total surrender of my life, saying, God, whatever you want me to do with my life, I will do it. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do it. I will give my life serving you. I will give my life, laying down my life for whatever you ask me to do. Until you make that decision in your life, you're going to be frustrated. You'll be frustrated. The gift of redemption is that he bought me. He paid for me. And he brought in my life salvation, grace, justification, redemption. I want to show you a video here in just a second. It's a video, maybe some of you have seen and heard this story before. It's a story of a father-son. The son's name is Rick and the father's name is Dick and their last name is Hoyt. and they call themselves Team Hoyt. And one day, Team Hoyt, the son came to him and said, "Dad, there's this benefit for a guy who's been hurt in a car wreck at my school. And he's paralyzed, and they're doing a benefit for him. They're doing this 5K run. I want to participate in it." You say, "Well, that's good. The dad doesn't do it." There's only one problem. The son who was asking had cerebral palsy. And so we see this person by the name of Rick. He was born with cerebral palsy. Doctors said he'd never be able to go to school. He'd never be able to communicate. But they designed, back in the 70s, they designed one of the first computers that he could actually see letters, and he could just tap it with his head when it got to the letter he wanted. And on the screen, the words would come up as he spelled them. And as they got him this device, all of a sudden, they didn't realize his mom and dad were teaching him, not knowing if anything was sticking. All of a sudden, he started spelling out words. Like, "Go Bruins!" Yeah, his favorite team was the first word they said he ever spelled out. And after they ran that race, he spelled out and said, "Dad, I've never been so free in my life when we ran this race. When running that race and you were pushing me out there, I never felt so free. Can we do another race?" And that started the journey of a father who was out of shape, who didn't really feel like pushing the son around, decided he was going to sacrifice himself. He began to train. They began to do other 5Ks, and then that left like the 10Ks, and then it left to half marathons, then it led to full marathons, and then it led to triathlons, where they would have to run miles and miles and swim miles and miles and have to bike for miles and miles and miles. And he would pull his son and push him as he ran. He would carry him and put him in the bicycle, and he would pedal the bicycle, carrying his son on the bike. And then he would carry his son to the boat, putting his son in a raft and tying a harness around his chest, and he would swim, dragging his son along in the triathlon. They've made history. They've done hundreds of races and triathlons and marathons. In 2014, they received an ESPY, one of the highest sports given for inspirational. They've been in the Boston Marathon Hall of Fame. They've gotten awards and awards. They've been inspiration to many people because a father decided to carry his son. I want you to see this video as we close this message.
If you watch the video, go to the sermon notes at mydestinychurch.com/Christmas2014.
The reason why I love this video so much is that as I watched that video, I realized this, that I'm the son in the wheelchair. You're the son in the wheelchair. Unable to run on our own. No, unable to swim on our own. Father, send a Savior to carry us, to hold us, to push us, to pull us. That was grace in our life. But while I was yet a sinner, drowning in my sin, unable to save myself, that He sent the gift of grace. He sent the gift of grace, His Son, that I would know redemption. I want you just to bow your heads this morning. I want to ask you this question before we take communion today. If you're here and say, "Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I realize today that I need a Savior. I need to receive this gift. I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior before." Don't let this moment pass you by. We won't do anything at all to embarrass you. Nobody's looking but me. I want to make sure you have a chance to respond today. If that's you today, say, "Pastor, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Can you just raise your hand where I can see it and say, "It's me"? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Yeah, raise it. Thanks, guys, for being honest. Yeah. Great decision today. Hands going up all over the place this morning. Thanks, guys, saying, "This is my day to accept Jesus." Thank you. If you've raised it, you can put them down now. If you haven't raised it, I'm going to ask you one more time. Say, "Pastor, I want to join these and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Can you just raise it right now?" Thank you. We're going to say this prayer together. as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you and repeat it with you. So please repeat after me. Say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life, all of my sin, all of my hurt, all of my dreams. I give you everything I am. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give him a hand clap. Yeah. We celebrate you today. Amen. It's just the beginning. Just the beginning. You need to have a home church. If you don't have one, we'd love to have you here where we can support you. If you do have a home church, go back and tell somebody, "I gave my life to Christ. What do I need to do next?" I'm going to ask our servers to come this morning. They're going to prepare to serve our communion to us. And what we're going to do today is, as they prepare, they're going to be lining up at the ends of the aisle. So we're going to ask you to exit to your right, to come down and receive the elements. You're going to get the juice and the bread. Hold that with you. Take it back to your seat. And then after everybody's received it together, we'll pray over it together and take it together. So I'm going to invite you to stand right now as you begin to come. Our praise and worship team is going to lead us in this song, "We Are the Reason."
As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, of all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find. But we never realized a baby born last night gave us the greatest gift of life.
Today that we are the reason that he gave us life. Why did he come? Did the Savior come just to so we could change our date? No. He came because we needed the Savior. If we didn't need a Savior, he never would have came. So today, as we take of the Lord's table, we're reminded of the words that Jesus told his disciples at the Last Supper. He said, "Take this bread," and he broke it and he gave it to them. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." That the bread represents his body. His body which took the stripes upon his back. Had the flesh ripped off his back for us. He carried that cross on that same back. Up Calvary's hill for us. Scripture says that the stripes on his back were for our healing. So today, Father, we remember your body, which was given for us. And we thank you. You bore our punishment. We thank you that you took the punishment we deserved and gave us grace. Let us eat the bread together. He said, likewise, in the same manner, he gave him the cup of the juice. He says, "This cup represents his blood, which was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. How are we pardoned? Right here. We're pardoned by the blood of Jesus. He doubled over our letter of debt, and he wrote his name in blood, saying, "This one's mine. On my life and your life, for all who will call upon him, they can receive that pardon." That's the power of this blood. So, Father, we thank you for the blood which was given for us. The blood which was shed for the forgiveness and pardon of our sins. Thank you that you nailed yourself to the cross in our place, carrying the sins of the world. Today we remember this Christmas that you gave yourself for us. We remember you and what you did on the cross for us. Let us drink the cup together. Now I invite you just to take a moment here. Make it personal right now between you and God. Say, "God, thank you for dying for me." Come on. Express it out of your own mouth. "God, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for loving me when I didn't love you. Thank you for forgiving me when nobody else would." There you go. Just express those words out of your own mouth. Say, "God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you, God. We love you, God. We worship you together." You are great. Greatly to be praised. Father, for dying for me. Thank you for coming and saving me in my sea of sin. Thank you for coming and pushing me when I couldn't walk. Thank you for carrying me when I couldn't crawl. Thank you, Father, for your grace that I don't deserve, but you so willingly give to us free if we just receive your gift. May the gift of grace be alive in our heart this Christmas like it never has before, is my prayer this morning. If you're thankful for God's grace, one more time, I just invite you, just if you're okay with this, can you just lift your hands as a sign of praise and surrender? "God, I lift my hands to you. I give you my life as full surrender. Thank you, Father, for what you've done this Christmas in my life. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We surrender our life to you. Everything. Everything we have belongs to you. Thank you, Father. You're so beautiful, God. Your presence is so sweet, Father. Yes. We give you praise, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, I invite you, put your hands together. Say, "God, I praise you. I receive that word of grace of my life today." I'm going to let you be seated before I let you go to this morning. How many, we've had a request that the band would come back and do that same guitar solo they did last week to close us out. How many would like to hear them close us out with that this morning? Would you like to hear them? Okay. We don't have the lights, but we still have the same players. Give it up for our bands. They come back and bless us with one more instrumental before we let you go today. God bless you. Thank you so much. Have a great Christmas.